Morning. Morning. We're in the Ein Yaakov on page Lamed Beis. Amarlo Antoninus le Rebbe. Antoninus said to Rebbe. Antoninus was the Roman, some will say he was a Roman emperor, Antoninus Pius. Some understand he wasn't Roman emperor. Sorry?
He wasn't so pious.
He was relatively pious. Some understand that he was, although it's spelled differently than the word pious. So, but he was relatively pious. Some understand that it doesn't mean the Roman emperor, but the Roman governor. The word Caesar in the Gemara seems to be used to refer to any representative of the emperor. So it could be the governor. In any event, Antoninus said to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Gufu neshama yecholim liftor atzman min adin. The body and the soul can both escape judgment. Ketzad, how so? Gufu omer neshama chata. The body can say, it's the neshama that sinned. Shivyom shepersha mimeni hareini mutal ke'even dumam bakever. Since the neshama left me, I just lie in the grave like a stone. I don't do anything. So you see, it's the neshama that sinned. When the neshama omer, the neshama says, "Guf chata, it's the body that sinned." Shviyom shpirash mimena hareini prachat avir katzipor. Ever since the body left, I left the body. I fly around in the air like a bird, and I don't do anything wrong. So obviously, it's the body that sinned. Amarlo, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasi answered him, "Emsholecha mashal, I'll answer you with a parable." Amad davar domeh. There's a human king who had a beautiful orchard, and now we're turning to Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. Bakurot Naot, it had beautiful fresh fruit, new crop. Voshiv bo shnei shomrim, he put two guards there. Echad chiger v'echad suma. One was lame and one was blind. Amar lo chiger l'suma. That's an interesting question. Why you would put guards in your orchard who are lame and blind? Unless
it's a mashal.
Could be because it's a mashal, or could be because they're supposed to be scarecrows. They're not supposed to scare away thieves, or because thieves don't know that they're lame and blind. They just see their people there. So, voshiv bo shnei shomrim, echad chiger v'echad suma. Amar lo chiger l'suma. So the lame one said to the blind one, "Bakurot naot ani rava pardes." I see beautiful fruit, but I can't go get them because I'm lame. Bovar kiveini v'nivi eini lochlam, v'nivi ein lochlam. So put me on your shoulders and we'll go get them. Rachav chiger agave suma v'vium v'achalum. So the lame person went on the shoulders or on the back of the blind person and they went and got the fruit and ate them. Liamim ba bala pardes. Then the owner of the orchard came back. Amar lem v'akurot na'ot hechanim.
Put them there so they wouldn't eat the fruit. That was his thought.
That could be too. So the owner of the orchard came back and said, "Where are my fruit? Where's my fruit?" Marlos suma. So the blind man said, "Klum yeshli inayim v'rot. Don't look at me. I couldn't see the fruit." Amarlo chiger. The lame man said, "Klum yeshli raglaim v'alechben. Don't look at me. I couldn't go get the fruit." Me'asa. What did he do here? Kiv chiger agave suma. He put the lame man on the back of the blind man, v'danotam k'echad, and judged them as one. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi et neshama v'zorka v'guf, v'danotam k'echad. So too, in the future, Hashem will bring the neshama and the guf back together, put the neshama in the guf, and judge them as one. Shemar, yikra el shamayim me'al, as Pasuk says, he will call to the heavens above, v'la'aretz ladinimo, and to the earth, to judge with him. He kral shamay me'al zon neshama. He will call to the heavens above, this is neshama. Ve'la'aretz ladinimo ze aguf. And to the earth to judge with him, this is the guf. Hashem will judge the heavens, will judge the neshama and the guf together. Okay. That is the thing Yaakov will read for today. This is as good an opportunity as any to talk about the great Machlokas Rishonim, essentially the Rambam on one side and everyone else on the other side, about the guf, the body, in Olam Haba. Okay. Let's start with the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Chet, Halacha Bet. Rambam says, "Ha'olam haba ein bo guf u'gvia, ela nafshot ha-tzadikim bilvad." In Olam Haba, there is no body, only the souls of the tzadikim, the lo guf, k'mal cheshreit, without a body, like the angels. Ho'il v'ein bo gvuyot, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo davar mikol advarim shigufot b'nei adam shechim lahem v'olam hazeh. And since there are no bodies, there's no eating and no drinking, and nothing that any of the bodies need in Olam Hazeh. And there will be none of the things that bodies do in this world. No sitting, no standing, no sleeping, no dying, no sadness, no happiness, no laughter. Kach amru chachamim harishanim ha'olam haba ein v'lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo tashmish. Chachamim said that in Olam Haba there's no eating, no drinking, no marital relations. Elat tzadikim yoshvim v'atrotem v'roshem. Tzadikim sit with crowns on their heads v'ne'anim v'ziv ha'shchina, and they enjoy the light of the Shechina. Harei nitbarer lecha she'ein sham guf l'fi she'ein sham achila v'shtia. So it's clear there's no body because it says there's no eating and drinking. Why would there be a body if nothing physical happens? Why would anyone need a body? It'd be a waste of Hashem's effort, so to speak, to have bodies there if they're not doing anything. That which it says that tzaddikim are sitting with crowns on their heads, they're sitting. It's a riddle, and it's a mashal, in other words. It means that the tzaddikim are sitting there, not exerting themselves in any way. And what are these crowns on their heads? It's the knowledge that they have, because of which they attained Olam Haba. Knowledge here means the recognition, the level of recognition of God that they attained, which is what gets them into Olam Haba in the first place. That's the crown on their head.
Why is that a head?
It's a mashal. Okay. They're there with their intellect, whatever level they attained understanding of Hashem, that's what's referred to as their head and their crown on their head. Sorry?
At least up until the question of crown on the head, tzaddikim, it sounds as if he's referring to basically everyone as malachim. In other words, there's no body, there's no...
Correct. Right, there's no body. The head, the head also is a mashal, yeah, for their...
But there's no
spiritual accomplishments.
Right. There's no opportunity for spiritual accomplishments. They are where they
are. The spiritual accomplishments they did in this world.
Right.
But right. That, Olam Haba, there's no more. That's like the work for 6 days and on Shabbos. Gemara says if you don't cook on Friday, you don't have anything to eat on Shabbos. Right. Olam Haba is like Shabbos. There's no cooking. There's no working. Okay. The accomplishments have to come before that. Okay, so he goes on a little bit more, but that's enough for our purposes. So the Ravid, who a contemporary of the Rambam, who wrote comments on the Rambam, usually very strongly worded ones, and here too, Amar Avraham, Divrei Zeh Ha'ish Beinai Krovim L'Mish Omer Ein Chiyat Mitim L'Gufot Elan L'Nefashot L'Neshamot Bevad. The words of this man, the Rambam, there seemed to, in my eyes, to be saying there's no tchias amesim for the bodies, only for the neshamos. V'chayei roshi, and I swear by the life of my head. Ma'olam lo hayadat chachmei Talmud al zeh. This is certainly not what the chachamim of the Talmud taught. Shari Amru, Atidim Sadikim Shemdu B'Levusheyem, says in Gemara, Sadikim will get up in their clothing, Kavachomer Mechita, we had this Gemara. The editor here quotes, cites Gemara in Ksubos, but we had this here in Sanhedrin.
Did we start with Ramam in Olam Abba, and then we just switch now to Tichias HaMeisim?
Exactly.
Okay.
That what it all comes down to, and the Rambam wrote another book to defend himself. Okay. This statement of the Rambam, and as you see, the Raivad is attacking him as denying Tchias HaMeisim, essentially, right? And the Raivad wasn't the only one. Okay, so the Rambam wrote a letter known as Ma'amar Tchias HaMeisim to defend himself and to say, among other things, what Howie just said. Okay, wait a second. I didn't deny Tchias HaMeisim. I have a different idea of what Olam Haba is than the rest of you do. Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. Okay, let me finish reading the Raivad. So the Raivad brings the Gemara that Sadiqim will get up in their clothing. We learned the Kavachomer from a kernel of wheat. You plant the kernel of wheat without its clothing, and it grows up with several layers of clothing. And they told their children, don't bury me in white and don't bury me in black, because when I get up, I'll look like a tzaddik and I'm not a tzaddik, or I'll look like a Rasha and I'm not a Rasha. We had the Gemara we had here that Tchias HaMeisim people will get up with their physical blemishes, and then they'll be healed, all of them. All of this proves that Tchias HaMeisim is for the body also. So the answer is, as Rambam explains in Maamar Tchias HaMeisim, that essentially they're talking about two different things. Rambam writes, Tchiyat Meitim Yesod Miyesodot HaTorah. Tchias HaMeisim is one of the foundations of the Torah. Okay? Of course I don't deny that. And he lists Tchias HaMeisim in the 13 principles of faith, which the Rambam lists in Perush HaMishnayos, in his commentary on Sanhedrin. One of them is Tchias HaMeisim. Okay? He writes there, incidentally, as I already explained elsewhere, and commentary struggle to figure out where is this elsewhere, that he already explained it, because there is no one place where the Rambam very clearly describes what his ideas of Tchias HaMeisim. Even in the Maamar Tchias HaMeisim, his essay on Tchias HaMeisim, it's like a little nugget here, a little nugget there. You have to put it all together. And so it doesn't seem that that's what he's referring to. In addition to which, the Rambam wrote his commentary in Mishnayos when he was a teenager. Now, there is evidence, and these other works he wrote much later, there is evidence that he constantly revised all of his works. Now, you look in the Mishnah Torah, you find there are multiple versions of it, and sometimes there are changes. People wrote him letters and argued, questioned things he wrote. He clarified, he changed words. So it's not clear what he's referring to there, where he says, as I explained Tchias HaMeisim elsewhere. But in any event, in the Maamar Tchias HaMeisim, the letter that he wrote defending himself, it's not only the Raivad, but we'll see another Rishon who overlapped with the Rambam, the Rama, Rav Meir, Alevi Abulafia. Rambam lived from 1135 to 1204. The Rama, Rav Meir, not the Rama in Shulchan Aruch. That's Reish Mem Aleph. This is Reish Mem Hey. Rav Meir Halevi, Abu Lafia. He lived from 1170 to 1244, so he overlapped with both the Rambam on one end and the Ramban on the other end. And he attacks the Rambam very strongly, as we'll see. So the Rambam wrote this letter defending himself. So he says, Tchias HaMeisim is a foundation of our faith. However, Sheina tachlita sofit. It's not the ultimate end. Ela tachlit sofit yichei olam haba. The ultimate end is what I call olam haba. Here in the Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam says there are no bodies, he's talking about olam haba. The source of the, or it's not the source, but as Howie pointed out, okay, the difference between his opinions is simply, how do you define the different stages? According to the Rambam, if you look at Rambam's works as a whole, you see that according to the Rambam, Mashiach will come, there will be Tchias HaMesim, everybody will die, and then there will be Olam Haba. And there are no bodies in Olam Haba.
No, not immediately.
He says they will live long lives and then they will die. Okay. We'll talk about the Rambam's view in on other occasions as well. Okay. I actually want to focus today on the Yad Ramah. But just to set it up, we need to know what the Rambam said. So according to Rambam, there's Mashiach, Tchias HaMesim in the time of Mashiach. Then everybody will live long lives, will die again. And then there's Olam Haba, and Olam Haba, there are no bodies. Okay. Those who argue with the Rambam, they don't hold that there's death after Tchias HaMesim. They hold that Tchias HaMesim leads into Olam Haba, or Tchias HaMesim is Olam Haba. There are different subtle ways of wording it. Okay. So according to them, there will be bodies in Tchias HaMesim, in Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is a continuation of Tchias HaMesim. Now, one of the fundamental sources that they argue about is this Gemara that says, in Olam Haba, there's no eating and drinking and so on. Okay. One of the Balei Tosfos, the Rav Shimshon Mishantz, he writes about the Rambam. The Rambam writes there's no eating or drinking or marital relations. And the Rosh Mishantz was also a Rishon, one of the Balei Tosfos, one of the main Balei Tosfos. He writes, Rambam must have been writing from memory because it doesn't say anything in the Gemara about, just says there's no eating and drinking. It doesn't say anything else. Okay. Also possible the Rambam had a different girsa in the Gemara, or could be other explanations. But he also is one of those who argues with the Rambam about the nature of Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba. The Rambam writes, so the Gemara says there's no eating and drinking. The Rambam says if there's no eating and drinking, there must not be bodies, because why would God do something for nothing? Okay. So those who argue with the Rambam, like the Yad Ramah, they say, wait a second. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, went up to Shamayim. For 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat and drink. Still had a body. Eliyahu Navi went to Har Chorev. He fled from Achav. He went to Har Sinai for a period of time. He didn't eat and drink. Still had a body. Eliyahu Navi went up to Shamayim alive. Still had a body. Okay.
When Eliyahu Navi went to Chorev, didn't Hashem or the Malachim tell him to eat?
Eventually, a raven brought him food, which leads to interesting questions of how did Eliyahu Navi know it was kosher? And even if besides kosher, is halacha regarding meat, that something called basar shnis ali min ayin. Even kosher meat, if it was left unsupervised, open, unsupervised, okay, there are halachas about whether you're allowed to eat it. So basar shnis ali min ayin. I was at a bar mitzvah once, and the fire alarm went off in the middle of the meal, and the guy sitting next to me refused to leave, because all of the food on the table, he was afraid, would be basar shnis ali min ayin. Others argued that wasn't necessary because we could walk out and we could stand at the door and we could still watch, you know, if you don't have to be standing over the food, you're standing at the door, you see everyone leaves and you're standing at the door watching. That's also, anyway, that's for the shir that's at the other table, the Ardea shir over there. But anyway, but for a time, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't eat, and certainly now, Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim alive, okay, in some sense with his body. Okay. So you see that having a body is not equivalent to eating and drinking. So too, even though the Gemara says no eating and drinking Olam Haba, the Yad Rama and others say doesn't mean we're not going to have bodies. The Rambam says it's different. Okay, they needed their bodies. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down from Har Sinai; he needed his body. Eliyahu HaNavi was going to leave Har Sinai too; he needed his body. And when he eventually went up to heaven alive, he had his body because he never died. That's not the same thing as Hashem bringing us back in the future in Olam Haba with bodies that we have absolutely no use for. Okay. That would be a total waste, because the purpose of the body is to serve the neshama. So that essentially is the opinion of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva and in Ma'amar Tches Mesa. So the Yad Rama, in his commentary on Sanhedrin, he writes, "V'inyan olam haba v'zman haoveh achar yimot Mashiach b'kama shanim." Olam haba is the time that will be after some number of years after Mashiach comes. V'ikar matan shchan shel tzadikim v'onshim l'rashim eino elavo. The main place where tzadikim will be rewarded and rashayim will be punished is what we call olam haba. And then he says, sometimes the word Olam Haba is only used for the reward of tzaddikim, not for the punishment of Rishayim. But in the sometimes it is used that way, but the true meaning of it includes the punishment of Rishayim. He says that when our Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba, uses the term Olam Haba, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about Chiyas HaMesim, which is, as we've seen many times so far in the Gemara, that the Gemara itself seems to equate Olam Haba and Chiyas HaMesim. It says, if you don't believe in Olam Haba, it says everyone has a chelek of Olam Haba except someone who doesn't believe in Chiyas HaMesim, and it's Mida Keneged Mida. He didn't believe, he doesn't get it. So you see, Olam Haba is equal to Chiyas HaMesim, and we've seen that other times as well. Okay. And then he says, as I mentioned, that The Gemara in Brachos says, "Olam haba, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtiya, v'lo masa matan, v'lo piriyah v'rivya." He also had the girsa of "lo piriyah v'rivya." Okay, "Ela tzedekim yoshim v'atrutem v'rosheim." Okay, and he argues exactly the opposite of what from the same Gemara. The Rambam said, "If there's no eating and drinking, why have a body?" The Yad Rama says, if there's no body, why tell us there's no eating and drinking? Of course there's no eating and drinking and marital relations if there's no body. So from the fact that the Gemara has to tell us that these things won't exist, it means there is a body. You know? Okay. So that's the Yad Rama's proof from exactly the same Gemara. Sorry?
Nobody agrees.
What do you mean nobody agrees? Oh, okay. Okay, so then he asks a very interesting question. So he says that the body has to be there, as our Gemara said, the Gemara we read today, said the person did mitzvos and averos when he was a body and a soul. They did them together, they were partners. So they have to be punished and rewarded and punished together because they did them together. So obviously there will have to be bodies at the time of the ultimate reward. So then he asks, well, wait a second. Let's say I'm a bank robber and I used a drill to drill through the back wall of the bank into the vault, and I had a bag with me and I threw all the money into the bag, and then I got in my getaway car and I sped away. Don't the drill and the bag and the car also need to be there to be rewarded and punished with me? Because after all, my body, okay, my mind, my soul made the decision to rob a bank. My body took my soul there and did the physical work to rob the bank. My body is the tool of my soul, so they should be punished together. Well, the drill and the bag and the getaway car were also the tools. Why aren't they punished as well?
It's implying that inanimate objects at the Shabbat.
No, that's his answer. Well, he gives two answers, actually, sort of three answers. There's a 1A, 1B, and 2. In it. So he says, first of all, he can't compare the body and the tools because the body has body has a life force independent from the soul. The evidence of this is that if a person, on the one hand, a person who, God forbid, is a paraplegic, his mind's not necessarily affected. And on the other hand, a person's mind could be gone, but his body is still perfectly healthy. So you see that the body and the soul have some, and they equate the mind and the soul. Okay? Many Rishonim do that. Okay? So you see the body and the soul do have some independent existence, whereas the hammer, the drill, the getaway car, those are all completely inanimate objects. They have no independent existence. Okay. And furthermore, okay, the body will know if it's being punished. If you take a pin and stick it in your skin, it's going to hurt. If you take a pin and stick it in a getaway car, it's not going to hurt. Okay. So there'd be no point. So first of all, the getaway car doesn't deserve to be punished because it has no independent life force of its own. And second of all, it wouldn't hurt the getaway car if you punished it because it's just the getaway car. Okay. And also, he says that the body, actually, that was the second answer. The 1B is that the body knows that it sinned. It has bechira, has free choice. Okay? So, therefore, it deserves to be punished. The tools, the getaway car and the bag you put the cash in when you rob the bank, they don't have free will, and they don't... And they don't have free will on one hand, and they won't know they're being punished on the other hand. So there's no point in punishing them.
Okay. Just your example.
Well, since he lived from 1170 to 1244, he didn't have a getaway car. But if you,
it would seem like if you use like a horse, it has some form of definition.
Doesn't have free will. Doesn't
have free will, but okay.
So it wouldn't know it's being punished. It would hurt. If you would punish a horse, it hurts. But the horse doesn't know it's being punished.
It might not even know it's involved in a robbery.
And it also doesn't know it's involved in a robbery. Right. So yeah, all of the other...
All those stories of Gula that came back and its horses, dogs.
Number one. I'm reading you a Rishon. You can't ask me a kasha for my story. Number two. We will talk about Gilgulim. I'm in the process of preparing a shiur, and possibly it will be next Tuesday. I'm not sure if I'll be ready yet. However, maybe I have to shock you. Right, it's part of why I'm here. Maybe he doesn't believe in Gilgulim, because not everybody does. But that's not relevant to our discussion. Okay? Glad to hear that. Let's not ask Kashas on a Rishon from stories, although they are great stories. Okay. Then he says that people ask, well, how could the body live without eating and drinking? If the body's going to be there and there's no eating and drinking, okay, how is the body going to survive? So his answer is, don't worry. if Hashem knows how to create the body, he knows how to do tchias amesim, I'm sure he can figure out how to make the body live. And he brings a proof from Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi, who went for extended periods of time without eating and drinking and sleeping, and they survived. So clearly Hashem knows what he's doing, and that's not akasha. Okay. He then argues that if you would say that Olam Haba is only for the soul and not for the body, then you are essentially saying that a person is only rewarded for what's in his head. Again, we're equating the neshama with a person's intellect, and the intellect is certainly the result of having the neshama. That's the difference between us and horses. Okay? Horses have a nefesh bahamit. They have an animal soul, but they don't have an intellectual soul like we have. Our intellects are a result of having a higher level soul than a horse. So if you say that only the neshama is an olam haba, that means a person is only being rewarded for what's in his intellect. So if I learn Torah all the time and I commit bank robberies all the time, I will be rewarded for the Torah I learned. I will not be punished for the bank robberies because my body's not there. Only the Torah I learned is there. On the other hand, if a person was never able to learn but did mitzvos his entire life, he put on tefillin, he shook a lulav, he did chesed all day long, but he happened not to be a learned person, he's not going to be rewarded. And that clearly is wrong. Can't be. Not logical. It's not fair. So clearly that there has to be a body in Olam Haba as well. Okay. Then he says that, okay, so the Rambam argued that what would be the point of having a body in Olam Haba if you're not going to use it? There's no eating and drinking and so on. And what would be the whole, and that led the Rambam to say that Olam Haba is different than Tchias HaMeisim. Again, the Rambam did not deny Tchias HaMeisim, although people accused him of it. Rambam said, I never denied Tchias HaMeisim. I just argue with you about what Tchias HaMeisim is, when it is. Okay? I say it's different than Olam Haba, because what would be the point of having a body in Olam Haba that you're not going to use? So the Rama, who holds that Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba are the same thing, he says, I'll tell you what the point of having a body in Olam Haba that you're not going to use is. In fact, there are three point purposes to it. One is, as we already mentioned, the body did mitzvos and the body sinned. Olam Haba is the place of reward and punishment. Therefore, the body should be there to be rewarded and punished. Number two, the fact that the bodies will be there and not eat and drink will demonstrate the greatness of Hashem. It's an opportunity for Hashem to demonstrate his greatness, so that he will sustain our bodies without eating and drinking for all eternity. Okay. And third, not only the bodies in a general sense should be rewarded and punished, but every part of the body, the entire body, has to be there in every detail, because some mitzvos you did with your finger, or some averos you did with your finger, and some you did with your eyes, and some you did with your feet, and so on and so on. And so the blind man who carried the lame person to steal the fruit, so he used his back and his legs. So his back and his legs should be punished. Probably used his hands to hold also, right? So the body needs to be there in all of its details in order to be rewarded or punished in all of its details.
I mean, how would the crown fit into this argument? The crown of intellect.
The crown
the,
doesn't. First could be either way.
Well, it doesn't. It still doesn't have to be a physical crown. This light, it says that the tzaddikim sit with crowns on their heads and enjoy the Shechina. The Ramah, that's also Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand it. Okay, according to the Ramban, this light of the Shechina, that is the sustaining force. They won't be eating and drinking like the man, which the man they ate because they had physical bodies, but it was a spiritual force. And similarly, a spiritual force will sustain them. According to the Ramah, the light is the reward. The light of the Shechina, enjoying the light of the Shechina, is the reward itself. Okay. The crown itself doesn't have to be a literal crown, however. Okay. The Rama had
cars. You said the intellect, like,
right?
Do I need a body to have an intellect? That's all.
Oh, so the intellect that is equated with the neshama. So you don't need, according to the Rambam, you don't need the body in Olam Haba. The Rama had correspondence with at least two other Rishonim about this subject. One was Rav Aaron of Lunel. Lunel is in southern France today. Those days, it's an area called Provence. Okay. The Rishonim can be divided up geographically into essentially three areas, and it affected the geographic differences. They're not just coincidences, but there were different styles of learning and different philosophies in these three. So there's northern France, where Rashi and Bali Tosos lived, southern France, which is also called Provence, and then there's Spain. Okay. So the Rama had correspondence with Rav Aaron of Lunel in Provence, and also with Rav Shimshon Mishantz, who was northern France, one of the main Bali Tosos. And Rav Aaron of Lunel was on the Rambam side of this debate, and Rav Shimshon Mishantz was on the side of the Raivad and the Rama and the Ramban, and so he brings he says that when there's Tchias HaMesim at the time of Mashiach, people will eat and drink. He brings a proof from our Gemara, because our Gemara said, how do I know there's Tchias HaMesim? Because it says you'll give Truma to Aaron. Aaron never went into Eretz Yisrael. How could you give Truma to Aaron? There must be Tchias HaMesim. So Rav Shimshon Mishantz says, what would be the point of giving him Truma if he can't eat it? So you see that after Tchias HaMesim, there is eating and drinking. Okay. Why did Chazal have to tell us that in Olam Haba there's no eating and drinking? Because, unlike the Rambam, who holds that after Tchias HaMesim people will die, and then there's Olam Haba, Rav Shimshon Mishantz says, you see that the Gemara holds, obviously the Rambam learned the Gemara differently, but you see the Gemara holds that people will go straight from Tchias HaMesim into Olam Haba without dying. So when Tchias HaMesim first happens, there will be eating and drinking. And then everyone will go into Olam Haba where there won't be eating and drinking. But they'll go into Olam Haba with their bodies. Okay. We have references to the Suda of the Livyasan. The Rashi tells us, Parshas Brachos, Hashem created these creatures, and then he hid them away for the Suda of Tzaddikim in the future. You see, there's going to be a Suda, and people are going to come and eat. And he says that all Yisrael that first he first there will be a, this is something some Rishonim hold, the not all Rishonim hold this, that there's more than one Chias HaMesim, or Chias HaMesim will be in stages. Okay. As Yitzi brought to our attention once, Zohar seems to hold this way, that Chias HaMesim will be over a period of time. Okay. So first there will be Chias HaMesim for the greatest tzaddikim, for tzaddikim gemurim, but eventually there will be Chias HaMesim for everyone, and Shimshon Mishan says that's when the Sudas Livyasan will be, and then the world will continue to exist, and then eventually everybody will transition into Olam Haba. Okay. Part of the discussion here, this gets back to our introduction to learning Agadata in general, is how literally should we take psukim having to do psukim and agadatas having to do with these esoteric concepts. So the Rosh, Rav Shimshon Mishantz, says, how could you think you would not take these literally? Because the Gemara itself says there are three places where the Chachamim spoke Lashon Havai, is spoke in a fanciful way. Okay. Well, if there are only three places where Chazal spoke in a fanciful way, that means in every other place they didn't. And so we have to take it literally. And so we should interpret all of these sources about Chias HaMesim, about Olam Haba, in the most literal way possible. That's the argument of Rav Shimshon Mishantz. The Rambam's response to that in Maimar Chias HaMesim is, if you take that to its logical extreme, then God has a body. And there were many people in the Rambam's time who believed that God has a body. And one of the Rambam's missions was to talk people out of this idea that God has a body. The first section of Morah Nevuchim, very large part of it, is devoted to this subject. What does it mean God has a hand? What does it mean God has eyes? And the Rambam explains at great length in the first 30 or so chapters of Morah Nevuchim are devoted to this, explaining that words can have multiple meanings. Words have a literal meaning, a hand. And words have a figurative meaning. And when we say God has a hand, it's a figurative thing. When we say God has eyes, when we say God gets angry, when we say it's all figurative. And the reason the Rambam worked so hard at this is because a lot of people in his time believed that God has a body. And the Rambam says, if you're going to take this idea to the logical extreme, that we should take things literally unless we have clear evidence that will not to take them literally, then God has a body. And that's clearly wrong. So working backwards now, there are lots of things we have to interpret as parables, as metaphors, not literally. The Rambam says in Maimar Chias HaMesim, just to end, that at the end of the day, our obligation is to believe that Mashiach will come. Our obligation is to believe that there will be Chias HaMesim. Our obligation is to believe in Olam Haba. A person who denies any of those is a heretic. However, there is no obligation to believe that Yemos Mashiach will look a certain way. We won't, and in Mishneh Torah, Rambam says, we won't know until it happens. What Rambam has his ideas about what the days of Mashiach will look like, and we'll talk about that coming up in a future shiur, but at the end of the day, that is not one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, to believe that the days of Mashiach will look a certain way, to believe that Chias HaMesim will happen a certain way, to believe that Olam Haba is a certain way. That's not part of the fundamentals of our belief. Fundamentals of our belief are only that these things will happen. What they will be like, ultimately that's God's business, and we'll find out. Mitzvah Hashem will all be there. We'll find out what they'll look like. Okay. when it comes to understanding the Gemaras, so there's a machlokas rishonim how to understand the Gemaras, and that leads to different conceptions of what these time periods will be. But you know, as long as we believe that they will be, we're okay, and we don't have to worry. Mir Hashem, we should see it in the future. Yeah.